Good morning, people of the Most High God. Time has come for the message. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the University of God of the Holy Spirit. We are here to learn the ways of the Lord. The scripture says, knowing God is not to see his works, but to learn his ways. I repeat, knowing God, knowing Jesus, knowing Holy Spirit, is not only to see the miracle, the signs and wonders, but to learn his ways. The book of Psalm 103, verse 7 said, God showed his deeds to the children of Israel by signs and wonders and miracles in the land of Egypt and in the wilderness. But he showed his ways to Moses. What a big difference. It is something to see the mighty hand of God, which many want to see, all of us. But it's another thing to know the ways of the Lord. Which one is important? To see the hand of God or to know what is in the heart and mind of God for you? It all depends on the attitude of your heart towards God when it comes to him. Many people follow Jesus in his earthly ministry. The 12 that was around him, the 12 apostles, they wanted to know what is in the heart and the mind of God, to learn his ways. That's why they became disciples of Christ. To learn his way of doing things, his way of thinking, his way of acting, his way of treating human beings, no matter whom they are, no matter what they have done. His ways are perfect. What is perfection? He said, Matthew chapter 5, go read. Very challenging message. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemy. Bless and don't curse. These are the ways of Jesus. We say we are Christian. Are we following the ways of the Lord? Are we following his commands? Are we Christ-like? Or are we following our own ways? In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, the Lord says, he who wants to follow me must carry his cross, must deny himself and follow me. What's the meaning of that? Jesus wants me to go to the narrow way. The way is so narrow. My natural human pride and arrogance cannot go that way. It takes the path of faith and humility to go through the narrow way. Humility is a narrow way of following Jesus by faith. Humility is another way of approaching God, following God by faith in spirit and in truth. God showed his ways to Moses. Moses never complained that the Lord took him by the Red Sea. He never said, God, why you brought me here? There's no way. No, he never said that. He understood the ways of the Lord. Through the journey in the wilderness, Moses never complained, but the people complained, despite the fact they saw the mighty plagues God did in the land of Mizraim to bring them out of bondage to liberty. But they forgot all these things. Why? If you learn the ways of the Lord, you never forsake God. You never forget his ways. When we forsake the ways of the Lord, we are bound to fall on the precipice of life. When we forget God and his ways, we grope in the dark and we may fall over the precipice of life. But when you follow God, knowing his ways, you will walk in the light. You'll walk in a sure way and nothing out of God's control will happen to you. But God says, my ways are not the ways of man. Isaiah 55 verse 8. Neither your thoughts are my thoughts. This is the reason why we have to follow the way of the Spirit. Why did the Lord Jesus give us the Holy Spirit? The question I'm asking to myself. I say, Lord, the moment you called the 12 apostles to come around you, why didn't you just give them the Holy Spirit at that moment, the fullness of the Spirit? Why? It is true, the Lord gave them assignment. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. But at that moment, God was teaching them his ways. God was leading them to learn to get into faith. God was teaching them to learn to follow the ways of Jesus, not the ways of man. They forsook everything and followed the path of faith and humility, following Jesus' instruction in righteousness every day. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd knows the destination. He's the governor of our future. He sees far ahead, and absolutely nothing is hidden in the sight of Christ. Therefore, we need someone who knows the future. But today, we human beings, we only see now. We can't see beyond now. These eyes, this sight, and senses are for now. They're focused on the present. They cannot see the future. And Jesus is a tomorrow thinker. Jesus looks far beyond the natural. He sees the heart of man. And the scripture says in John chapter 6, verse 64, that Jesus, from the beginning, he knew those who believe in him, and he knew the one who will betray him. Right from the beginning, he knew. John 6, 64. And he came to say this judgment in righteousness in John chapter 6, 70. I have chosen you, and one of you is a demon. That's what Jesus said right from the beginning. God's way are not the ways of man. That's why God gave us the Spirit. The ways of the Spirit, that's the name of this program. There is such a way that seems good to a man. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is such a way that seems good to a man, but the end of it is the way of death. Let me take you to our proof text today. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. I read, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. I repeat again, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We need to be led by the shepherd. We need to be led by God, to be led by Jesus, the good shepherd. And Jesus, before he departs to the Father, said something. John chapter 16, verse 12. I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. I mean, you can't understand them now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into the fullness of the truth. He will take what is of me and reveal it to you. That's what he said to his disciples. He knew there are so many things that they couldn't bear, they couldn't understand. Now you can see the position of the Holy Spirit in our life is direction, revelation, understanding, conviction, and faith. Faith can never be complete without the leading of the Spirit of God. Now you understand why Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, till you receive power from on high. Then you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the end of the world. That's what God said. So the message of today, let the Holy Spirit lead. Allow the Spirit of God to lead you. That's the standard of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What's the meaning of to be led by the Spirit? Why do we need the leading of the Holy Spirit? Since Proverbs 14:12 says, there is such a way that seems good to a man. I mean, there's a way of man and there's a way of God. Sometimes the way are opposite. Sometimes the way are not opposite. But one thing I can tell you, we have the Spirit and we have the natural way. What do I mean by that? We have natural way. Man focuses on his own way. But God has a way that's different from the ways of man. I said to you, the Red Sea is not a way a man would choose. But God chose the way to the Red Sea to open it for them to cross. The wilderness is not the ways of man. There was a way shorter. The Bible says it clearly in the book of Exodus. But God chose the hardest way. God chose the toughest way. The way where there's no water, there's no food. No person will choose that way, but the Lord chose that way. Why? God never dodges challenges. God never dodges difficulties. He sees them as a challenge to reveal his glory. Where God guides, he provides. Take note of that. Where God guides, through the mountains, through the valleys, he provides. He protects. Therefore, where God guides, be obedient. I repeat. Where God guides, he provides. Where God guides, he protects. Where God guides, be obedient. When God led them through the wilderness, when there was no water, Exodus chapter 17 and Numbers chapter 20, God brought water from a rock. When they were hungry, manna came from heaven. God is the provider. God protects and God leads. The pillar of clouds by day was showing them the way through the wilderness. God was going ahead of them to show them the way by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They never, never lack anything. A man of faith will lack nothing, even when everything else is necessary. A man of faith requires no evidence of the senses before he decided to follow the way of the Lord. If God say, go this way, go that way. I repeat, a man of faith requires no evidence of the senses. He will never query God's way. He follows God's way. Jesus Christ walked steadily, purposely towards the cross of Calvary for a purpose which no man will do. Go and read your Bible. But he walked in the footstep of God's will for his life. That's what he did. So we need to be led by the Holy Ghost. Why? To fulfill the mind of God, the plan of God, and to walk in the direction of God's calling for your life. If you have a calling in righteousness from God, God has an assignment for you. He has a purpose for you. And he has a people to whom he is sending you. Moses was sent by God to the people of Israel. Aaron was sent to Moses. Every single person has an assignment. God can send you to a person, or God can send you to people. You can be assigned to do a temporary assignment by God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, or God can commission you to serve a nation or to serve a people. If you're a man of people, God will provide for you to serve them in righteousness. If God sent you to serve a man, there is grace to serve under that man till the time comes. In all these ways are completely regulated, guided by the Spirit of God. That's why the Bible says, faith is our movement towards God. Faith is your movement towards the location and the people the Lord sent you. Who is leading you? Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. Who gave the ministry? Jesus Christ. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are all ordained by Jesus himself. But Jesus never commissioned any of this fivefold ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus said, I'm sending you where others have labored and you are entering their labor. If the Lord is sending you, you will never go astray. If the Spirit of Father is leading you, you will never miss the mark. You will never come late. You will never go where God is not welcomed. You will never go where they will reject your word. He knows the heart. He knows where to go. He knows the heart that's ready to receive you. Because God thinks far ahead. God sees far ahead. We have two ways to life. A natural way, and we have a spiritual way. What is the way of God? Bible says walk in the Spirit. What's the meaning? To walk in the Spirit is to walk in harmony with the will of God. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in harmony with the Word of God. Because the instruction for such work is entirely guided, regulated by the words of the Spirit. This means you are led by revelation to know where to go. You are led by revelation to know whom God is sending you to. And you are led by the Spirit to plant the seed of light when you come. Anytime a servant of God is preaching, he's planting a seed in people's heart. And we all know there are different types of hearts. In the natural, we have different types of land. You don't plant your seed in any kind of land. There are land designed for construction, for habitation, for building. But we have land for farming. Before you plant the seed, you have to know the type of seed you are planting and what the types of land you are planting the seed. Parable of the sower. God does not want your seed to fall among the rock along the way. But if the Spirit of Father is leading you, He will lead you to the right land in the right season. And when you plant your seed, the seed will be fruitful because the planter of the seed is God. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now, God wants us to be led by His Spirit. Why? Because the plan of God for you and for the people He's sending you is concealed in the heart and the mind of God. God's word expresses His plan hidden in the heart of God. And His will and purpose is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. We have a roadmap, a vision, a calling of God in your life, in the word. But how to navigate through the roadmap to fulfill your destiny, it takes the leading of the Holy Spirit. How can we achieve that? Wisdom of God. The wisdom of the prudent, of the wise, is to understand the ways of God. He will always walk in the direction of God's calling for his life. He will not go where God is not expecting him to go. When you look at the life of Jesus, the Bible says every morning, the Lord will go to a solitary place in the mountainside to pray for direction. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness to be tempted by the adversary. There was a purpose for that. Jesus was led by the Spirit to fast for 40 days. There was a purpose for that. Jesus walked towards the well of Jacob in John chapter 4 for a purpose to meet the Samaritan woman. Jesus walked to Jericho to meet Zacchaeus. It was for a purpose. Everything the Lord did was for a purpose, hidden in the heart, in the mind of the Most High God. Now, we are believers. The Bible says we are in the world, but we are not a part of it. What's the meaning of that? Jesus said in John 17, Father, I pray that you do not remove them from the world, but I pray that we preserve them from the evil one. Take note of that statement. Jesus said, I'm not praying for you to remove them from the world. No, I'm praying for you to preserve them from the evil one. We are in the world in body, but in spirit, in faith, we are not part of it. What's the meaning of that? Our source, our direction, our roadmap is led by the Spirit of God to fulfill the will of God in our life, right in this world we live. We have the Spirit and we have the natural. The question we say, I was discussing with somebody the other day. He said something that struck my mind. And he said, it is true. Sometimes I'm 100% in the Spirit and I leave everything. And after, I'm 100% in the natural and I forget everything. One day we are off, one day we are on. That's not what it's supposed to be. There is a natural way, of course, and there is a spiritual way. But the two, when you are led by the Holy Ghost, they will never enter into conflict. That's the balanced life. When you are led by the Spirit of God, the two ways, natural and spiritual, will never enter into conflict. They enter into harmony to fulfill the purpose of God. We want to do the will of God. We say, Father, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. How do we know the will of God? How do we do the will of God? Every single day we face decisions from morning to evening, right when you woke up from your bed. Go to the kitchen to eat is a decision. Taking your car to go to work is a decision. Decisions, decisions, decisions from morning to evening. Our mind is never void of thoughts. But are we doing our will or are we exercising the will of God? Which one are we doing? The only conflict between the natural way and the spiritual way is when the will of man is completely different to the will of God. That's the conflict. But when the will of man embraces the will of God, there's no conflict. There's harmony. Jesus went where the religious establishment didn't want to go. Why? Because their mindset and their frame of mind was so rigid. Jesus walked towards a Samaritan woman where no religious people will go. Jesus walked and dined and ate with the publicans. Those say, hey, that's it, don't go there. Jesus went there and stayed with them. Why? He was led by the Spirit. When we don't have the Spirit and we act religiously, strictly, we will end up following the ways of man, not the ways of God. And God said, Matthew 15, verse 8, these people come to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they followed the way of man and began to judge in self-righteousness and rejected the truth from heaven of Jesus. They never acknowledged Jesus because their frame of mind focused on the natural, not on the spiritual. To walk on the way of the Lord, you must have eyes that can see, ears that can hear, and a heart that can understand the ways of the Lord. You see a revelation, a roadmap, a dream shown to you by God. Go to this country. Ears to hear what the Spirit says, to come to understanding that this is where God wants me to go. And now your heart has full conviction to step into the direction of God's calling for your life. I want to give you two people to illustrate this message who were led by the Holy Spirit to do the will of God in their life. Their natural tendency did not want to go that place. They wouldn't have gone there by the human knowledge and understanding. They would have refused that way. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to take them to the narrow way of faith, to go where Jesus wants them to go. Let me take you to the book of Acts. I will take the case of Saul and we'll take the case of Simon Peter to explain why we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 22. Listen to what Paul says, verse 1. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. Verse 2. When they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, verse 3, I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous towards God, as you all today. Verse 4. I persecuted this way to death. That's not what Paul said. I persecuted this way. The gospel was called the way. Why? That was the way of God. That was the way of righteousness. That was a way that no man could follow without the Spirit of God. No one could understand that way. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he said, nobody comes to me except the Father draws him. That way is hidden. That way is concealed. That's the ways of the Spirit. Paul said, I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Verse 5. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and I went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. That's what Paul said. That was his mindset, religious mindset, without the Spirit. Persecuting the way because he didn't understand. What people do not understand, they can persecute, reject, and call name. That's the situation. He was ignorant of the ways of the Spirit. He was in the law, in the natural, absolutely in the natural, but couldn't understand the ways of God. Something new was happening. Something new. That it takes the grace of God to understand that way. Now, the same soul, something happened to him. Verse 6. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus. At about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 8. So I answered, Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? What a question. A man extremely zealous, a man who was extremely knowledgeable in the doctrine of the Pharisees, a man who think he knew God more than anyone, a man who is a doctor, a teacher of the law, who fight for God, who persecute for God, who are you, Lord? Meaning he was persecuting the person he never knew. He was serving a God he never knew. It takes revelation to know the Lord, not sense knowledge. Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said to him, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. That is revelation. He was shocked. And the question, verse 9. Those who were with me saw the light and were afraid, and they didn't hear the voice of him speaking to me. When the revelation came, the eyes of Paul was opened and he began to see the light. Eyes that can see the hidden truth. He said, the others saw the light. He was the only one that heard the voice. God gave him ears that can hear. The inner voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of Jesus, the voice of God. When he heard, he came into understanding. And what did he say? Lord, what do you want me to do? He surrendered immediately. His way to Damascus was to fight the way to stop the gospel. But God allowed him to go that way to show him another way he never knew. The way of revelation, the way of Jesus. His life shifted 360 degrees. He understood that he was in error. He was in mistake, in ignorance, in disbelief. That's the way of Jesus, the way of the cross. This man was ignorant. But there was a disciple called Ananias. Ananias knew about the way of Jesus. Let's see what happened when Jesus went to reveal himself to him. So for Saul to become Paul, someone needs to point him the way. That way is not the ways of man. the way of Jesus, the way of God. Who? Ananias. Who was Ananias? A disciple. The Bible says there was a certain man. Let me read Acts chapter 9 this time, from verse 11. So the Lord said to him, "Arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judah for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying." That's the instruction Jesus gave to this man called Ananias. But at first time, Jesus knew that this man will never go to meet Saul. He saw Saul as an enemy. He saw him as a persecutor. He would never go there by himself. But Jesus wanted him to go there. Jesus said to his disciple while he was alive in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." He said, "Pray for those who persecute you and love your enemies." Ananias saw Saul as an enemy. Ananias would not pray. He would have cursed Paul. But Jesus said, "Go and pray for him. Go and embrace him. He's not your enemy." By prejudice, by ignorance, when the heart is closed to revelation, our mind takes up and begin to have prejudices and begin to judge, begin to reject, because those ways are the ways of a human being. The Lord said to him, let me come back. Verse 8, Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes was open, he saw no one. Then they led him by the hands and brought him into Damascus. He was 3 days without sight and could not eat or drink. That's Acts chapter 9, verse 7 to 9. Now, take note of this. Verse 10. There was a certain disciple. Take note of the word certain. There was a certain disciple. Take note of not certain. Means it was not an ordinary disciple. His name was Ananias. And to him the Lord appeared in a vision. Ananias. God called him in a dream, in the vision. Ananias. He said, "Here I am, Lord." Verse 11. And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas. For there is one man called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying." Jesus was able. He is a shepherd. He is the leader of the church. Jesus in the person of the Holy Ghost today. The living church, a Christian must be led by the Spirit of God to walk in the direction of God's calling for his life. Ananias in the flesh would never go to his enemy, would never pray for his enemy. But Jesus said, "Go to this place. You will find a man called Saul of Tarsus. He is praying." Jesus continued saying, verse 12, "And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias." Jesus is telling you, this man has seen you in the vision. He has seen you, Ananias, in the vision. This man you have never seen in the flesh has seen you in the spirit. He has seen you coming in and putting your hands on him so that he might receive his sight. Jesus has connected the spirit of Saul and the spirit of Ananias in the spirit. I repeat, Jesus Christ the shepherd has connected the spirit of Saul with the spirit of Ananias. The enemies were connected by God. Ananias, to have the right vision of Paul, God must show him what is in the heart of Paul. We don't know the hearts of men, but God looks at the heart. Ananias saw Saul in the present as an enemy, as a persecutor. But Jesus never saw him like that. Jesus saw in him Apostle Paul. Jesus saw the future. Jesus saw the man of God, the apostle of God. Jesus, in rightful judgment, will never judge now. He judges the future. Whatever correction, whatever words Jesus said to us today is not for today, it's for tomorrow. It's a warning. When Jesus says something today, that word will stand for today and forever. His judgment does not consider just the present, but the future. God, Christ, never considers our past. to determine our future. Jesus is the governor of your future. Jesus is a shepherd that will lead you to your future, your good future in God. Now, what happens? When the vision came to Ananias and Jesus spoke to him, who was Ananias? God said in Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, when there is a prophet in your midst, I will reveal myself to him in a vision and speak to him in a dream. Genesis chapter 46, verse 3, Jesus spoke to Jacob in a dream. He spoke to his prophets in a dream. So Ananias knew who Jesus was. Ananias was in the spirit with God, receiving revelation from him. He was a spiritually minded person at that moment. But Ananias didn't see what is in the heart of Saul at that moment. He was seeing the wolf, but he never knew. The wolf became a lamb when Jesus met him on the way to Damascus to change his life. Sometimes we have the record of the past about people, but God must have changed that person. But we kept in our heart the picture of the bad person we knew in the past. The person who is bad today can be the best tomorrow. And the person who is good according to human standard can be the worst. That's what Jesus said. Many of the first will be the last and the last will be the first. How do we judge? How do we choose our way? How do we judge a human being? Judgment belongs to Jesus, not to us. He never asked us to judge anyone. We don't arrogate the position of God. Judgment belongs to the Lord, who only sees the heart. Now, when Jesus said that to Ananias, Ananias knew the will of God in the life of Paul. And that vision completely transformed his life. Revelation came. He understood. His mind was renewed by understanding the revelation of Jesus. Let's continue. Ananias first said, verse 13, he said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. This is the problem we have today. Many of us, by merely hearing what people say about a person, we begin to develop love or hatred towards the person we don't know, who sees the heart of a man. You see, I've heard from many how much harm this man has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Verse 16. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. I mean, this man is the enemy. He is the enemy. But Jesus said to him, verse 15, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and the children of Israel. That was the revelation of the purpose of God in the life of Saul. Saul never knew that until Jesus revealed it. Ananias never knew until Jesus revealed it. The purpose of God in your life might be hidden. The purpose of God in your life needs to be open for you to know what God says about you. That's his calling, his purpose, his goal, and his will for your life. Verse 16, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, Ananias went his way. He obeyed and entered the house. Oh my God. Because of the revelation of the Spirit of Jesus, he knew God's opinion about this man. Because he was a believer, he never doubted. He believed, and what did he do? He walked towards the house of Judas. This simply means Jesus will reveal the future to you and move the future into you in the present. And then you can move in the direction of the future. The future has to move into you by revelation. Give it your roadmap before you can move into that direction. If I am led by the Spirit, by faith, the Lord must show me the destination. The Lord must reveal me the purpose. And he sent me, and I walk in the direction of his calling for my life. Once he knew the mind of God concerning Paul, Ananias' attitude changed radically, absolutely. And then, where his human body would never go, he decided to go in full obedience and went to the house of Judah and find this enemy he was calling Saul and calling what? Listen to his words when he arrived. So Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands in obedience on him, brother Saul, he called him brother Saul. He never say enemy. He say brother Saul. Jesus connect them in the spirit. We need revelation. That's what the Bible says. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You are a Christian by revelation. Your judgment should come by revelation. Your attitude towards people should be led by the Spirit. We should not judge by outward appearance or by mere hearsay. You need to examine the truth from God's point of view, from eternity's perspective, Jesus' point of view. We need to see life the way Jesus sees it. And to do that, we need the Holy Ghost to guide us, to lead us by revelation. Now, because of revelation, Ananias understood the ways of God. What was the purpose? The Lord said, he is my chosen vessel. God revealed his purpose in the life of Saul, that he was to be a minister of God, an apostle of the Most High God. That was hidden in the mind of Christ. That's what Jesus sees in you. But Ananias, without revelation, he would have never went to see Saul. That's the ways of the Spirit. The same Saul, go to Acts chapter 13. When the time came, the same Jesus in the person of Holy Ghost say, hey, set apart this man for me called Saul, for the work I'm sending him. Where God is sending him? Let's go to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22 from verse 14. When Paul accepted Jesus, he was a Jew and a Pharisee. He wanted to stay in Jerusalem. But Jesus wanted to send him somewhere. You can know God's calling for your life, but you have to know the location where God is sending you. And then the roadmap is complete. You have a calling, but you have the people God is sending to you. Your action and your location must match the will of God for your life. What to do, where to do it, whom to serve. Saul knew the calling came, but he didn't know where he was destined to go until God spoke to him clearly. Let's see in Acts chapter 22, let me go, verse 14. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. So you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Ananias told Saul, this is your calling. This is what God wants you to do. You are his chosen vessel. To know his will in your life. Now, he said to him, verse 16, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, the good verse, so say, verse 18, and so he said to me, Jesus appeared to him in a dream and said to him, make haste. You can see now. This time, the Lord that commanded Ananias to go to the house of Judah to meet Saul, the same Lord is using the same way, dream and revelation, to give an order to Paul, because he didn't know where he was destined to be, where he was destined to go. Verse 18, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they would not receive your testimony concerning me. That's what Jesus said to him. You are here, but this is not the place I'm sending you. If you are not in the right place God wants you to be, when you cast your seed, you will be barren. You must know where you are destined to go. You must know where to plant the seed God given into your hand. You must know the people God has assigned for you, where to go. And the Lord said to him, not here. I'm sending you where? To the Gentiles. Verse 19. So he said, he was arguing, say, Lord, they know me in every synagogue. I imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death. And I was keeping the clothes of those who were killing him. Now Jesus said to him, verse 21, and he said to me, depart, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. That's the ways of the Spirit. That's the way of God. Paul will never, being a Jew, go to the Gentiles. Never. Never ever. Until Jesus said, go to the Gentiles. That way he understood that God is sending him to where he has never been before. In full obedience, go and read at home Acts chapter 13, verse 2. When the Holy Ghost called him and Barnabas, they lay hands on him. A special anointing came and he began to move into the apostolic ministry in the power of the Holy Ghost and went his way. In Acts chapter 16, read from verse 6-7. When Paul wanted to go to Asia, let me read, to know that when you are led by the Spirit, it is not your way, but the ways of Jesus. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Spirit. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Why the Holy Ghost will stop you from preaching the word? Why? It is good to preach the word. We believe you can preach the word to any temple, anywhere. But the Holy Ghost say no. Why? Because the ground was not ready. God never plant a seed in vain. God knows the heart that are ready before receiving the seed. The ground must be taken care of, and that's the work of Holy Spirit. If the Holy Ghost has not prepared the heart in advance and you go there, the seed will fall and on the rock and will never enter. He stopped them from going to Asia. Verse 7. After they have come to Mysia, they continued their journey. They came to Mysia and they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. He stopped them again. Why? Because the hearts were not ready. Holy Spirit always go where people are ready to receive him. Take note. Holy Spirit will always go where the people are ready to receive him, those who thirst and hunger for righteousness. So, if you are led by God, you are serving God. God will send you where people are thirst and hunger for righteousness. They are waiting for you. God has prepared them. When you come, they will receive your word in their heart. If you are led by the Spirit in the right time, in the right season. Now, so passing by Mysia, verse 8, they came down to Troas. Now in a vision, appeared to Paul. Can't you see? God has been using vision to speak to Ananias. Vision to speak to Paul. And God spoke in dream, in vision. In a vision of the night, appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul never heard about that. In the vision. Now, when you have a vision, when your eyes are open, your ears need to be open, and your heart need to have understanding. The first work of the Holy Ghost in leading you is revelation. Open your eyes to the vision, to where God wants you to go. Number two, the Holy Ghost will work in your understanding by the renewal of your mind to understand the purpose why he's sending you there. When understanding comes, conviction comes, you will conclude, yes, this is for me. I'm going there. What happened next? Verse 10. Now after he has seen the vision, mean he meditated to understand. The Bible never said it, but that's what he did. He pondered on the revelation and meditated to understand what's the meaning of that. When you ponder on the word and you think about it, Holy Ghost will tell you the meaning in your heart. That we call conviction from your spirit that this is where I want you to go. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that this is the will of God in your heart. Now, immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding, take note of that word, that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel to them. Concluding, mean conviction has come. An opinion was formed in the spirit to believe that this vision is true. Why? Because the Spirit of God bears witness in righteousness to our spirit that this is the truth of the word of God. We want to be led by God. We need vision. We need revelation. We need understanding and the conviction. That's the step of faith. That are the ingredient of divine faith. God will show you the vision is a roadmap to where he's destined you to go. You continue to pray till the Lord tell you, this is what I want you to do there, the purpose, the goal and the purpose. God will send you somewhere for a specific. Ananias understood that God is sending him to one direction, to Saul in the house of Judah. What to do? The goal, go and pray. For what? This man to receive salvation. Direction, goal, and purpose. The same thing happened in the book of Acts chapter 10. Simon Peter would never go to the house of Cornelius. But God has a purpose. Still the same. A direction, a goal, and a purpose in the ways of the Spirit. What was the direction? Go to visit the Gentile, an enemy of Israel, a Roman. To do what? Your purpose? To go and preach the word of God to them. Why? For salvation, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But God knows this man called Peter will never go there because he's still clinging to the old tradition he knew from Moses. When he saw the vision of the impure animal, was God revealing to him the purpose? But he couldn't understand, and he resisted the dream because of lack of understanding. Until, verse 19, the Spirit of God came into the matter and told him, arise and go, I'm sending you. This is what the Bible says, we must be in the Spirit in order to have visions and revelation from God. And that's not enough. We must test the vision, test the Spirit, to have a clear understanding that this is what God wants me to do. Then you find a reason to accept that word. When understanding comes, God begins to work in your will, in your heart, to bring conviction. Yes, it is true for me. I will walk in the direction of what God wants me to do. It was when the Holy Ghost walked in the heart of Peter that he walked, he went to the house of Cornelius. Love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. That's what Jesus said. The person you see as the enemy can be your best friend tomorrow. The person we see as a bad person by human standard can be the best tomorrow. Therefore, prejudice needs to be removed from our mind and heart when you walk in the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is leading you, what is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of a Christian? The church is not for you and me to fellowship and stay within us. The church is the light, to beam the light to those who are in darkness. What's the purpose of having Holy Spirit? It's to allow you to be a channel of shining light to those who are in darkness, a channel of blessing to those who are poor. That's the purpose of the church. When the Holy Ghost is leading you, he will lead you out of comfort zone. He will send you to the people Jesus sees as good, but you see them as bad. Don't call any person bad. Remember what James says in the royal law of love. Mean love yourself and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the fulfillment of the word. I love God, yes. But what about my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is a person who does not share the same faith as you. The person who is fighting you, rejecting you. But you don't see that person tomorrow. You only see that person now. But Jesus sees the tomorrow of that person. Therefore, don't reject anyone because of today. Tomorrow is mystery. Holy Ghost is leading us to the way of mystery. He will lead us where the flesh doesn't want to go, where our limited understanding would never want to go. But that's the way Jesus called the narrow way. The narrow way, sense knowledge, prejudice must give way to spiritual enlightenment. If you walk in the Spirit, our earthly understanding must give way to spiritual enlightenment led by the Spirit. If you see a person on the outside, we look at the appearance, what the person said, the record we have by the person. But do you see the heart of the person? And that's what the Lord considers, the heart. A person can be labeled as being very bad. But the moment the Lord sees sorrow in the heart of that person, mercy comes immediately. If that person in the secret place asks for mercy, God will forgive him. You are judging that person, but the person now became pure before God. Any person who remembers what Saul was doing to the Christian may fight him. But those who know who Saul is will never fight him again because Jesus has redeemed his past. So we need today the leading of the Holy Ghost, not to do our will, but to do the will of God. That's why whatever seems good in our natural human understanding, we need eternity's perspective insight to know what God says about it. Now, we judge human beings by appearance, by knowledge, but God looks at the heart. That's why we have to be very careful about prejudice. We need to be led by revelation to know what is God's opinion about that person. You are looking for a business partner? Pray for the Lord to lead you to the right person. Are you going to the covenant of marriage? Let the Lord be to lead you, to connect you to the right person. He knows what you don't know. You can see a person, I don't want this person. But who are you to judge that person? Do you see the heart? When everybody records the presence of Saul, he was the worst in their sight, but Saul became an apostle of Christ. The wolf became a lamb, and everybody knew God's general came. No one comes to Jesus of Nazareth in comfort. No one is born righteous. We came from darkness, and the light came after. That is why our past has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with our future in Christ. When Jesus comes, he cancels your past. Stop condemning yourself. Stop judging people. But ask the Holy Ghost to give you rightful judgment. Let the Spirit show you what is to come in the future. Many have condemned, rejected their prospective helper tomorrow because of today. That person can be your helper tomorrow, your best friend tomorrow. That's why we have to call the Spirit of God to lead us. He sees tomorrow. He sees far ahead to lead us in the path of righteousness, and then we will never miss the mark. In every aspect of our lives, Paul encourages Christians in Acts chapter 5 that we should be in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. To be in the Spirit is to enter the realm where God can reveal something to your heart. Let your heart become the communication point, contact point, where the Spirit of God will illumine your heart, giving you vision. He gave vision to Ananias. He can give you vision. He gave vision to Paul. He can give you vision. He gave vision to Peter. He can give you vision. He speaks in a way or another, but he will help you to understand your vision by the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen to the conviction of your heart. Listen to the clock of your heart. Your heart will testify with the peace of heaven that this is the way I should go. In Jesus' name. So please, I want to pray for everybody. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you today. Every person today, we are facing the same challenge everybody faced. We have two ways of looking at things. Our human perception and the eternity's perspective. Father, we don't want our will, but your will be done. Father, open our eyes to see what the Spirit of God is showing us today. Open our heart to spiritual understanding, to hearken to the inner voice of the Spirit, to know your will. Holy Ghost, give us strength to believe, conviction of heart. Bear witness with our spirit that this is truly the voice of God. Manifest your strength as you led Saul, as you led Ananias, as you led the apostle of all, in the power of the Holy Ghost, and they never doubted your ways. Lead us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Instruct us to be in the Spirit and to walk led by you. Give us a hearing heart. Give us a discerning spirit, an understanding heart, and give us the strength to obey your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Go over it, pray over it, and let God enlighten your heart to understand his ways. But let this message sink deep into your heart. Ask guidance from the Spirit of God, and he will lead you. Go back to the passage. Go read Acts chapter 8. Read Acts chapter 9. Read the full chapters. And go to Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 22. Holy Ghost will help you to understand the way he led the Ethiopian eunuch. He will help you to understand the way he led Simon Peter. He will help you to understand the way he led Ananias. And then we will know how to pray, how to seek the Spirit for guidance, for direction in every section of our lives. In Jesus' name, stay blessed. Amen.